Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not recommendations, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
Colleen Callender is a leader by design. Rising from shop assistant to CEO of Suzanne and then Sports Girl, Colleen decided that she'd take a break in 2020. That was before we even knew about COVID. And during lockdown, she worked on her book Leader by Design, where she drew on her 20 plus years experience with the retail brands to help others reach their full potential. Today, she takes the hot seat to talk about money. Welcome, Colleen. It's great to have you with me today.
Yes, fine. No problem.
Colleen, I guess to start with, can you just tell me a bit about your career and what made you write the book?
Yeah, sure. Well, so I actually started in retail at the age of 16. When I finished year 11, I got a job at the local Justine store, and I absolutely loved it from the first moment I joined. I loved customers, I loved selling, I loved clothes, I loved, you know, learning. And at the end of year 11, I went home and said to my parents, I wasn't going back to school to finish school. I loved retail and I wanted to stay in retail, and I'd been offered a full-time job. Through that whole conversation, it was quite interesting because my parents hadn't finished school themselves. They didn't have that opportunity. So they were very passionate about, you know, giving us an education and us finishing school. But true to form, they're incredible human beings, and they said to me at that time, be passionate, love what you do, never give up and work hard. And they have been sort of the principles I've taken through my whole life. So I started on the shop floor. I sort of just then turned 17 and worked my way through retail, and I've been in retail for the last 30 years and 13 of those as CEO.
So you were CEO of Sports Girl, and can you tell us a bit about that brand and how you got to that position?
Yeah, sure. So I'd been with Justine for nearly 10 years, and I, as I said, worked my way through the ranks, and I was the youngest area manager at the age of 20, and I was running the state with 54 stores and 3 direct reports at 24. So I was, you know, very ambitious. I worked hard, and I worked out very early on in the piece that people were my biggest asset. And so I really, nurtured talent, and that was really sort of the way I grew my career. And then in 1999, I got approached by Sports Girl to join the Sports Girl brand. And of course, you know, everyone has a connection to Sports Girl. It's an incredible, iconic brand. So I was super excited to join that brand in 99. Again, I moved through the ranks there. I became then general manager, a retail operations manager, general manager, and then I actually moved across to Suzanne as CEO, which is part of the same company. I was CEO there for 6 years, and then I moved back down to Sports Girl as CEO there for 7 years. So across the two, I had 13 years as CEO in the company. And then last year in March, I decided it was time to write my next chapter. I had my 20-year anniversary with the Sports Girl Suzanne Group in November the year prior, and it was really time for me to, you know, write my next chapter. And in fact, I actually decided I was going to take a year off, and then of course COVID hit, and I became busier than I've ever been. I felt like I was as busy as, you know, a CEO, but I had my 20 years, and then the following, you know, a few months after that, I was turning 50, and it was really time for me to, as I said, write a new chapter of my life, and that's really what I've been doing.
And so what were you so busy doing during COVID time?
Yeah, it's really, well, when I resigned, I, as I said, wanted to take a year off, and I wanted to do my passion projects and some travel and write my book. So I did finish writing my book. I locked myself away for around about sort of 6 weeks, and wrote Leader by Design, which I absolutely love and super proud of. I also had lots and lots of phone calls from, you know, women needing support and mentoring and coaching, and So it just happened that I started my own business in COVID, which is I started Mentor Me for Women program, which is a 4-week mentoring program. And I also started a business and leadership coaching program, and also do a lot of one-on-one coaching, but predominantly women, not necessarily, but most of them are women. And I also do sort of, you know, businesses, small businesses, large businesses, startups, kind of right across the board. So I was just super, super busy. I think people really were challenged by the whole COVID time and really, really needed some support. And so, you know, that was kind of what happened. And I'm an ambassador for Children's Cancer Institute. I'm on the board of the Starlight Foundation. So, I had a huge amount of projects and a huge amount of balls in the air, which was, you know, really a fabulous, fabulous year for me.
And the people that asked for your help and your people that you mentored, did they come from every industry?
Absolutely. And I talk a little bit about that in my book. I have entrepreneurs, I have startups, I have mums going back to work, I have women that are just completely at crossroads in their lives and just don't know, you know, which way to turn and really need to sort of start writing their next chapter. I have teachers, I have, you know, all different sorts and all different people from all walks of life, which, you know, is really fabulous.
And did you ever regret that you went straight into the workforce after leaving school and you didn't get further study, or did you think that that was the best way to go, and what would you recommend to your kids?
Mm. Yeah, it's a really good question because, you know, obviously people go, oh, you finished school at 16. I have absolutely not one regret. I love to work. I still love to work. In fact, I'm a bit of a workaholic, which I have to manage quite closely. I had burnout in 2007 and had to take 3.5, nearly 4 months off because I just go. So I just loved to work. And so for me, leaving school and going straight into the workforce was absolutely perfect for me. I've never been a big fan of the piece of paper, but of course, you know, there's different horses for different courses. So, you know, depending on what you want to do in life depends on what sort of qualifications and what sort of education you need. I have three, I would say, adult children of my own. So, you know, I now sort of, you know, don't think that they, you know, would walk out and just go straight into a job. You know, they're doing uni and writing their own story. So it really depends on what you want to do. But for me, it was absolutely the perfect fit because I love people and I love to work.
And I guess you had the passion that you knew what you wanted to do, which a lot of kids leaving school probably don't have at that age.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yeah, so true.
So what's the best money advice you've ever received?
I would say the best advice or something that sticks with me is what my father said to me. And he said from a very early age to be respectful of money because it doesn't come easily. And, you know, that's been, you know, that sort of stuck with me my whole life. My father came out to Australia when he was 4 years of age from Italy with his parents, his brother, a couple of suitcases and a little bit of money. And, you know, they came out in search of a better life. And so they worked really, really hard. You know, my father, I think that's where I get my work ethic from, is, you know, he was an absolute workhorse. So he worked, he finished school at the age of 14 and he worked by day and he worked by night. And so his advice is be respectful to money.
And what's the best investment decision you've made?
Yeah. Look, when I think about the word investment, I think about people. My whole life has been investing in people. And as I said, from a very early, you know, stage in my career, I worked out very quickly that people were my best asset and people were my best investment. So for me, I would say the best investment I've ever made would be in people and in myself as well, I suppose, you know, really investing in trying to be the best person I can be.
And what's the worst investment decision you've made?
Yeah, that's an issue. I'm not a risk taker, so I don't really go off piece too much. You know, I'm pretty diligent with my money, and really my investments have always been in property, and I've got to say they've all served me quite well.
And what's your favourite thing to splurge on?
Yeah, it's interesting. People think that, you know, given I've been in the fashion industry for so long and you know, I live around the world of clothes and we sort of, you know, traveled the world, you know, in respect to fashion. But I've got to say, if when I spend, I much prefer to spend on my house. I'm very much, my home is my sanctuary. And I love style and I love design, and you know, which is interesting because my book is Leader by Design and it covers all aspects of my life, not just sort of my work life. So I really love to splurge on hat items. And the other thing I love is, and I think maybe as I've got older, this has become more apparent, is I love to spend on experiences. You know, the older I get, as I said, you know, I realize that we just don't need so much stuff. So for us as a family, we really love to do experiences, and my husband and I like that as well.
So if you had $10,000 today, where would you invest it?
No, I might dabble in a few shares, I think, because as I said, I've never been a risk taker, and I've never really done that. So if I had $10,000 spare and it didn't matter what happened to it, I'd probably play with shares and have a bit of fun.
And what would you do if you only had $50 left in the bank?
Yeah, I would have a serious panic and anxiety attack if that happened, I've got to say. As I said, I'm pretty good with money and I've always been respectful, as my father taught me. So if I only had $50 left in the bank, I would have a total freak out, I'm pretty sure.
And then get working again, I guess.
Exactly. back to the grindstone.
And do you intend to leave an inheritance?
Yeah, I would say the short answer would be yes. But for me, everything in life is about a balance. And as a family, you know, my children and my husband, we love to travel. We, as I said, love experiences. You know, I've been very focused on giving my children a great education. So I have invested a lot in my children and our lifestyle. But also I want to make sure that I can help my children and set them up for the future. You know, my parents I've been very grateful. My parents have, you know, helped me throughout the years as well, and certainly my younger years. So, yes, I do want to make sure that I can leave something for my children that can help them set up their future and for their children.
Great. What's been your best money-making career move, do you think?
Yeah, that's a really good one because, you know, I've been in the same organisation for 20 years. So you know, automatically kind of just move up the corporate ladder and, you know, your pay rate increases accordingly. So for me, it's different. A lot of people jump from business, you know, organisation to organisation and, you know, there's a change in money making there. But, you know, for me, I think, it's really interesting because most women I work with find it really hard and uncomfortable to negotiate pay rates. So, you know, I work with a lot of them on making sure that we can do that because, you know, we obviously need to, you know, ask and we need to tighten that gender pay gap. And so, yeah, I think women find it very difficult to ask for pay rises and negotiate for themselves. It's often easier for people to negotiate for others, but I think it's really important that women start to, you know, ask for that pay rate and negotiate their pay.
So did you do that in your own career? Did you find that you had to put yourself out there and ask for more?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, I think it's important that we always negotiate. You know, I think it's important that we always go back and counter offer. You know, and that's certainly my advice to women is, ask for your worth. It's really important.
And were there times where you had to maybe say that you might change organisations if you didn't get what you wanted? Did you use that as a bargaining tool?
Not so much, I would say. I mean, I, over the years, had obviously a lot of, you know, organisations knock on my door and ask me to join you know, their organisation, but, you know, I was very happy in my business. I really loved the Sports Girl brand. I loved the values and I really loved my team. And so, you know, I was very very happy where I was and rewarded for that contribution.
And can you finish the sentence, money makes ...
I would say money makes the world go round, but it doesn't buy happiness.
Now, can I ask you also, what would your pieces of advice be to a young woman who's leaving school today to help her along her career and her life?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. I would say one is stay true to your values. So firstly, understand your values and stay true to those. I work with a lot of women today that you know, sort of in their 30s, 40s and 50s, and none of them or very few of them have done work on themselves, which is understanding their values and purpose. So I would say really understand your values and purpose. So, you know, values are, you know, why we make decisions, and when we do make decisions, they need to be in line with our values. And our purpose is not really what we do, but why we do it. Why do we get up every day? So that would be really important, and I really believe that they're the foundations of ourselves, really understanding those two things. I would say follow your passion. You know, if you don't know your purpose, then find your passion, because your passion will lead you to your purpose. So I've always believed that, you know, I've been successful in my career because I've been so passionate about what I'm doing every day of the week. I would also say to young girls when they go for, you know, job interviews, is make sure that the organisation they're going to work for is culturally right for them. You know, ask the right questions, ask about the company values, ask about, you know, their people focus, ask about their vision. So, you know, young women have as much right to ask the same questions at a job interview that they're getting asked, if that makes sense. Yeah. And the other thing I would say is you can become a leader by design. And, again, title of my book, but, you know, I talk a lot about that, you know, we can become the leaders that we want to be. We can become the leaders that we wanted to follow, and we can become leaders that people choose to follow. So really become the leader that you want to be in life and start leading in your own life. And we have to be leading ourselves before we can start leading anyone else.
That's a really interesting one, actually, because I think a lot of women, when they're offered a step up, they might overthink things and think, well, the leader before mm-hmm. me did it this way and I don't want to do it that way, or I wouldn't be able to do it that way for whatever reason. But when you're saying yeah. you do it by design, that gives a whole new freedom and offers ability yeah. to people, I think.
Yes, to sort of cover. The other thing I would say, and it's one of the biggest chapters in my book, actually, and when I started sort of tinkering around thinking about writing my book, I didn't have this chapter in because I was in my sports girl world, which was a world that was, you know, very safe for people, a culture that people got up to and wanted to come to every day. But one of the things when I started mentoring and coaching women was this absolute lack of confidence and this sort of self-sabotage and stories that we tell ourselves. So the other advice I would give to young women is, you know, build your confidence. And confidence starts with you. Confidence starts with self. And we don't need to look anywhere else to build our confidence. We actually need to look internally. And, you know, we don't need anyone else to validate us in life. We can validate ourselves, and we will always be enough. And so one of the things part of my 4-week Mental Me program, one of the sessions is all about building real confidence and what holds us back and how to build real confidence and why we self-sabotage and why we listen to the stories of our inner critic when really, you know, most of the time they're not true. So one of the things I would say to young women is believe in yourself and start to build that confidence. You know, confidence is like a muscle. Confidence is not a trait. It's a skill, and it's a skill that you can learn. So really focus on building that confidence.
And if there's one thing that you wish you knew before you started, what might that have been?
Probably the believe in yourself part. You know, I was certainly one of those young girls. I really lacked confidence growing up. I was an awkward teenager. I didn't think I was pretty enough, fast enough, slim enough, smart enough. And, you know, so for me, I would say if I could wind back the clock, just believe in yourself. And, you know, I had people along the way that believed in me, which helped me then to start to believe in myself. So, yeah, just build that confidence and believe in yourself. You can do it.
And I guess in the time that you have been, you know, heading designer brands, the whole retail industry has changed so much. Do you think you would still go into that business today?
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, fashion retail is tough, but, you know, every industry is tough. You know, some are tougher than others. And I'm a very big believer that brands need to stay true to themselves. They need to differentiate from the market. They need to connect with their customer on a much deeper level than just selling them something today. It's just not good enough to sell people stuff. People really want to connect with your brand. And you need to be a great visionary today. And, you know, I always say that, you know, having a great vision is fabulous. And you can, you know, be the best communicator of that vision ever. But if you're not a leader that people want to follow, it doesn't matter how good your vision is. So, you know, I still believe there is room for great leaders. There is room for great brands. I don't believe there's room for mediocre. I think they're going to be the brands and leaders that will fall away, you know, fairly quickly over time. So really there is room, and but, you know, brands and leaders need to stay true to themselves.
And what can we see next from you, Colleen?
Yeah, that's a fabulous question. I wish I had a, what do you call it, one of those magic mirrors. I have got so many fabulous balls in the air right now. And as I said, I've had a terrific year. You know, I've got my mentoring going on. I've got my Leader by Design book that's just come out, which is getting, you know, fabulous traction. I'm on a couple of boards. I'm, you know, doing a lot of coaching. I've got a lot of, I'm doing some speaking events. I really love and can't wait, you know, now that, you know, events are starting up again and, you know, we can get into real life events. I'm really excited to get back out there and sort of go on tour with my book and start speaking at events. And really, you know, my mission as a CEO is to inspire and empower, you know, people to bring their best selves to work every day and reach their full potential. And my purpose today is exactly the same. It hasn't changed one bit. I'm just doing it in different forums. I'm doing it through my books, through speaking events, through podcasts, through, you know, articles, through all different sort of platforms. So I'm super excited about what the future might hold.
We look forward to following whatever your future is and to be reading the book and to listen to your podcast. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Colleen.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thanks for chatting.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Friends with Money. Colleen's hot seat was printed in the July 2021 issue of Money and can be found online at moneymag.com.au.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider your personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any of the content without further independent financial research and advice.